I'm Eric. Alex not here right now, but we're still the Petchy Brothers, and this is Story Tap, where we try to tap the potential of a story by taking it all the way from concept to fully fledged pitch. This episode, Changeling. It's not Among Us the movie. It's John Carpenter's The Thing, just in space. It's different. It is! So, you said earlier you were feeling spooky.
Spooky? I was feeling, well, it's more that I always feel more spooky than sporty.
Yeah, we're going to do probably what will end up being Creed 3? Yeah, because Creed 3 is about to come out, and I'm going to do a little bit where we, like, where we pretend we're going to write it.
Yeah, because that's what we do here, kids, is wild and reckless speculation. Just that we know isn't right.
Sorry, I was just thinking, since the microphones are a lot more sensitive, they might pick up me just, you know, like brushing my hair to the side or, right, you know, shuffling.
That's right, kids. Have you noticed the noticeable increase and improvement in sound quality? Well, that's because of the money that you give us. Oh, wait. No, it's not. Give us money.
That's true.
So we can continue to improve. We can have attractive, famous people, and you can finally hear what they sound like.
That would be awesome to have any kind of guest that we don't know personally.
Yeah,
that might be kind of lame.
We'll find out. I mean, you didn't know my guest all that well.
Yeah, and that worked out.
I don't know Matthew that well, so there you go.
Okay, those episodes aren't out yet by the time this one hits, because they're going to go in the backlog.
Until
Alex comes back and we record episode part two of that one.
Ooh, mystery.
Okay.
Spooky.
Great segue into what is most definitely becoming Among Us the movie. I'm sorry. You see,
could have not done it.
Yeah, well, the deal was, I was listening to the Story Break podcast, and, like, I didn't copy the format. Basically, I took the idea and then was like, how would I do that differently? And that's what this podcast is just like, if this idea were made into a movie or a TV show, like, how would I want to see it play out, you know? So, like, that's just the idea. Yeah. So
welcome back to the Story Break fan cast.
Pretty much. And they did Among Us the movie, and they made it, I think they made it a comedy, but so the deal is, Among Us, you kind of know, there's an imposter among you killing everybody on a space station, but you can't tell who it is. And the deal is, they have, like, this destructive killing power. It's basically The Thing in space. And I'm like,
game, isn't it just a knife?
Well, there's a bunch of, like, cartoony animations in the game. Some of them are, like, kind of morbid. Some of them are funny. But they all involve killing, so.
Yeah.
But I thought The Thing in space would be really cool. And I just recently thought, because I've had that idea for like a week or so now, but I just recently, earlier today, thought it would be really cool to see The Thing in space play out. But in the end, it not be totally clear if there was a thing, you know?
Elaborate.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I love how we've gotten to
If there was a thing.
I love how, alright, so this is the first time where we've had, like, Eric with pretty much, not like a completed pitch, but a fully formed idea.
Yeah.
And just me commenting on it. It's like, this is going to be Eric firming up his idea while I tell jokes and make, like, four suggestions.
So, The Thing in space, except The Thing was a monster movie. It wasn't just a horror movie. It was a monster movie because you saw the monster, and I'll get into why it stayed scary.
With a young Kurt Russell, whom I have been told I resemble.
Yeah, I kind of see that. So anyway, The Thing in space, in that, I guess I'll just give you the pitch of what I've got so far.
Pitch.
I am.
Bitch.
Oh, gosh.
I could have not said it. But I couldn't have.
Oh, goodness. So, The Thing in space, basically Among Us the movie, that will get the most clicks, and that kind of depresses me. Among Us the movie, a bunch of people, relationships ambiguous for now, go up.
Researchers. They got it. It's always researchers.
Exactly.
Who else is in space?
Sure, we make it
wet rocks that turn out to be eggs.
Yeah, we make it whatever. A group of researchers or whoever goes up into space, and something happens where there is doubt. Doubt forms in the group that someone is not who they say they are, and they come to the logical conclusion one of us is an alien posing as a human, and then it's this game of trust, people turning on each other. But I just recently, earlier today, had the idea, what if we never actually show a monster? So you are left wondering, was it just mistrust that like ended up killing everybody?
I do love that. I've always wanted to see, you know, like the Agatha Christie style murder mystery where it's this, where the villain is not, you know, the villain, the secret, the imposter among us, but not necessarily the imposter among us, but that it could potentially be the paranoia.
Yeah.
And I also love this because we get to put together another murder mystery dinner party gang.
Yeah.
Like tropey people.
Yeah. Another, because I haven't put out that episode either
is
yet.
Is that going to be in the backlog, though?
Yeah. Maybe I won't release that because we might actually turn that into a movie that we try to produce.
All right. So for the first time, we get to put together a murder mystery dinner party.
But remember, the other bit. You see, making it ambiguous that there is a monster, you can't have that little bit at the end that I told you about. How,
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard this idea.
Here we go. Is them thinking they got the monster or the betrayer or whatever. But it, like, got away, and, you know, it's space, so it's out there. It's only a matter of time until it reaches Earth or whoever found the found footage, if we make it a found footage thing. Because I think just making something a found footage film is kind of lame, you know? It's like, who edited this, you know? It's like, oh, look what we found. It's like, no, that feels more like a cop-out for cinematography and stuff than anything else. Even if it is done well, and I see the movie and I acknowledge that's not what it is,
no,
it's going to be harder for to make me watch it.
Well, you know, it was originally done with Blair Witch Project. I won't pretend that, like, I know definitively that was the first time it was ever done, but I mean, it was like, okay, we have $19. What can we do in the woods with this camera? And there's a shitty old house over there. I got it.
Well done. Props to them.
Well, I'm not going to watch that. That sounds terrifying.
No, yeah, first of all, that sounds horrifying, and I'm not much for horror.
Yeah.
And second of all, sounds kind of like a cop-out for cinematography to me.
That's fair.
So I'm not going to watch it.
That's fair. The fact that it's impressive does not necessarily make it visually appealing, does it?
Exactly. I bring up found footage because I've told you, but I haven't told you, talking to the audience now.
What is it, Papa Eric?
Shut up. I hate you. Okay, now back to the audience.
That's the child that we found in the corner.
Gosh. Yeah, that was the producer. Oh goodness, train of thought gone. The idea I had was the idea of some alien life form being a threat to a crew works as, in my opinion, works best as horror, because, like, Ridley Scott's Alien was pretty solid as a thriller, but, like, I wouldn't quite consider it horror by my own definition. It definitely meets that definition, like, overall, but in my opinion, horror has now become something that, like, sticks with you after you're done watching it, and I think you just see the xenomorph, the alien, like, in too fine a detail too often, and it's not, like, gross enough, not creepy enough, you know? There's not enough jump scares, generic lame tropes. I'm basically just crapping on horror as a genre right now.
Well, it sounds like what you want is like ambiguity and doubt and existential dread in horror. Or it's just like, listen, go one way or go the other. It's like it's either going to be crazy gross with like the Dark Souls monsters, like the open heart surgery dragon is what I once heard it called. Or it's like you've got to feel like you are going a little bit insane.
Okay. We could have both. I want both.
I love both.
Because the deal was...
like that taco kid.
Oh. ¿Por qué no los dos?
Yeah. I didn't say it and you ruined it.
Oh, sorry. But we could have both. Because I was against both initially, 5 minutes ago or so. Because I didn't like the idea of getting at the idea, oh wait, what if there never was a monster? And then at the very end, so that you do have the, you know, the monster scariness of it, like, yeah, there was a monster. It's like, yeah, paranoia, dread. It undermines the whole like argument you made there. But if you establish right off the bat that there are these like shape-shifting monsters, and you make multiple of them, so that it's not just one monster movie. They're, like, the problem they're dealing with, but the reason they can't get rid of all of them is the paranoia, is the mistrust among humans. You see what I'm getting at now?
Yeah. Really like that.
Because if there was only one, and it was left ambiguous, that would be great, but that's not quite what I'm going for.
Okay, yeah. I like that. I love that as a concept.
Yeah, so... Because I broached this topic like 3 times, but I never actually said it out loud. I want it to be found footage because I want this to be relatively possible to make. Because every one of my ideas is super high budget. So I want to make this...
No, come on. We could do like the... No, I can't. We didn't release that one. Let's end that
exactly. Joke. We did one low-budget episode so far, and we didn't release it.
Oh, well, I was joking. It was another one that we definitely could not make.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah!
Yeah! With the brand money.
Yeah. So, relatively low-budget, I'm going to say it, found footage. But the found footage for a reason. And I've said this to you, Alec, but I'm going to say it again. Someone in orbit... Someone out in space alone is very, very important, much like the guys who live in wind farms
in Antarctica.
Yeah, like that kind of thing. They just like do like very superficial maintenance, but the idea is they're alone, like all alone out there for
in space
and like a body floats at their, or like, you know, half a body floats at their craft, and they're like, what the fuck is that? This is crazy. This is kind of part of my job, I guess, to see what that's about. And then they take like the body cam footage from the body, and then they watch it, and that's like the framing device to say this is a found footage movie, you know?
Yeah,
sorry. The reason I was getting at that is because that was like a good 3 seconds of silence. We just broke the cardinal rule of podcasting. So, the reason not the reason I wanted to do that framing device, but something I, an opportunity that I saw to jump on for that framing device was the very last shot, and this is why I wanted there to be a monster, why it couldn't be left ambiguous, is the last shot is that body, who they decide is the betrayer, is shot out into space, and then, like, from his point of view, he's like, you know, banging on the window of the airlock, and he's like, no, let me out. And then the two people that are left on the other side of the airlock, the door he cannot get past, are like shaking hands, and then he turns and looks at the guy about to be jettisoned out of the airlock. He's like, and then behind him, the other guy turns into a thing and is like about to eat the dude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then like that's where it ends, when the airlock opens. It's like,
and he flips over, and you get, and you know, he does the thing, flips backward in space, so you yes. see like blood stains on the window or something. Flip over.
Oh, I didn't think of that. I love that.
Yeah, it's Oh, look at me coming up with a cinematography idea. That's out of character.
I'm the cinematographer guy.
And I'm funny.
Excellent. Oh, that was an excellent joke, Alec. Good work.
I have no talent.
Well, that's anyway, not true. Take that back.
Let's get into my... I'm kidding. I'm good. Very talented. I'm perfect.
Very good.
My mind is touched with genius, my God.
Damn right.
All
right. That's the only way to get ahead in this world, is to realize no one's talented. And now that you know that, you're talented. Anyway, but the very last shot or collection of shots in the movie is you don't just cut with, like, oh my gosh, they didn't catch the monster. The monster got away. Feel free to yawn. I don't care. I do appreciate you making the effort to, because it's like editing this is going to be a nightmare. Anyway.
They didn't catch the monster. The monster got away.
Yeah, they didn't catch the monster. Oh my gosh. That might go over some people's heads that the monster's still out there and you should feel that dread. So the framing device guy, that footage cuts off and then he's like, oh damn. And the last two shots, one, he looks out the window into space, and the last shot is space. You know?
Yeah.
That's fucking terrifying. Literally, especially with someone with thalassophobia.
Everything is in it.
Yeah, thalassophobia, fear of the ocean. It was so severe, I looked it up. I have it, by the way. Oh no, now the audience knows my weakness. But
the ocean.
But, like, it's the same feeling. It's the idea that there's, like, you don't know how far it goes, so you have this feeling of, like, there's something out there, and regardless of what it is, I feel like it wants to get me. In the movie's case, it does. It wants to get me, and it's just a matter of distance. You know, I am not safe. Is the feeling I'm going for by making that the final shot, and maybe the credits roll over that final shot of space so it lingers for a really long time, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so now what is left but to decide the major act breaks, kind of. So the major beats we would be dealing with is the very beginning. Either the people go up into space, that wouldn't make too much sense considering he finds the body in deep space, and we don't want there to be, like, a home. That was so gross. I'm so sorry.
We'll edit that out.
I think I will. I just burped. We edited that out. If you don't know what just happened, I just burped. It was... I'm gonna edit out, like, this whole, like, 30-second bit now. ...18 minutes. I gotta remember that. This is so embarrassing. So, where was I? Oh yeah. I don't want there to be that feeling of a home we have... put it in the beginning, it would feel like they just left, so it's nearby, you know?
Right. It's like...
We want this to be...
month two of a three-year mission.
Exactly. Deep space. So, trapped, essentially. So they're on the craft, and then we need some sort of incident of, you know, taking on something that we don't know everything about, either cargo, or we know it's a life form, or it's just, you know, something on. So taking on something suspicious, something foreign added to the environment. We need that first sort of sense of, there might be something here hostile, which might be ambiguous, might be a body showing up.
Right. so I feel like your options there are either, it's like, hey, we go to a planet, which one feels a little too alien, feels a little too much like alien, and two, doesn't really feel like what you're going for. It's like, hey, we can reach a planet. You know, it's whatever. It's whatever. Yeah. Planet. So, I mean, the most likely, the one that seems to fit the bill here best is empty craft. Is a craft. Something's happens to all of the crew.
Yeah.
And we get these weird wet rocks. No, I'm sorry. I'm too stuck on the eggs. The eggs. Well,
yeah, eggs is maybe a little too obvious. Not obvious. I just feel like it's kind of played out.
Oh. I mean, they can bring a live guy onto the ship.
Ooh.
Like, I'm the only one left. It was... And it just, like, fucking tells him the story.
Yeah.
It just tells him what it just did.
Yeah.
And what it's going to do again.
Oh, that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Okay, now we got some stuff to play with before we decide on most plot stuff. Before we decide, like, where certain people's motivations and such, we do have to decide. Gosh, before we even get to what I was just about to talk about, I wasn't sure how to word it. To break up the monotony of a found footage thing, you know, there should be cuts, jumps in time, and I think, like, some sort of unexplained EMP wave, EMP pulse, could kind of account for that, which could also play into the ship being stuck where it is, you know? That could be cool.
That could be cool.
And also, for that, like, lingering doubt to play a part, like, did the alien life form do this, or did some betrayer do this? I think the alien life form should be established as intelligent in that, like, we can't get to the cockpit. Well, why not? It's welded shut, and it's like, who the fuck did that? It was like, well, it could have been the alien. It's like, why would you say that? Maybe we don't know the alien's that smart. I think this guy welded the cockpit shut, you know?
Yeah. Then there's a question of, okay, but why would anybody else do that?
And then,
I guess, there's also the question of how crazy does this paranoia make you?
Very cool. All right. We've got some very...
I don't necessarily buy into like, people claiming it's like, you welded the cockpit shut to fuck with us. But I do think that people could start making pretty crazy accusations.
You know what could be awesome? I'm digging that. But we could go back to the lingering doubt. No, we can't go back to the lingering doubt and then the monster reveals itself at the end. That's kind of lame. The EMP cuts could play into maybe the guy with the body cam is the betrayer, you know? Because, quick little moment. At the end, right when he's about to be shot out of the airlock, like, he says something like, I didn't kill Nancy, but he doesn't say anything about Drew. I did that on purpose. Nancy Drew. He's like, I didn't kill Nancy. I didn't kill her. I'm not saying anything about anybody else, but, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, what were you getting at?
But that's something that is that a fan, that's one of those things that, like, a big fan notices. And it's like, he only says Nancy.
Right.
I think he killed everybody else. New headcanon!
That's tight.
And that headcanon is correct.
Yeah, exactly. r/movie details opportunity right there. Yep. So, what happens...
First, folks.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I tapped the microphone. Who knows what that did. So, what the alien and or... betrayer person does on the ship should get more and more like every successive thing that the, you know, main cast survivors stumble on should be a little more evil, should be a little more violent. Like, you know, the first thing they find is we can't send for help, and it's like, okay, well, the alien would obviously want that, but a betrayer, it's very reasonable that someone betraying us would want to do that. And then by the end, it's like the cockpit is sealed shut, and everybody's so paranoid that, like, the alien life form's motives and the human betrayer's motives have become one and the same, you know? It's like, fucking figures that the Russian scientist would fucking do that, and everybody's... And, you know, you watching, you're like, oh, man. But then, like, once you stop and think, it's like, wait a minute. No human would, like, doom themselves like that. You know?
Yes.
Okay. I'm digging this.
I like that.
All right. 20 minutes. 25 minutes in. 26. No, that's 25.
It's funny how time goes like that. You know, like, it's 25. Going up.
So, not that fast. So, okay. Right now, They're a team of researchers. What leaves the most room for character development, attitude? You know, everyone has unique sort of personality. That's the word, personality.
I don't know. I guess in space, probably, like, and also this leaves motive for the opportunity for people to have, like, conflicting motives. Some sort of, like, business venture. Some, like, ooh, delivery. Like, they're merchants. Space merchants.
I dig that. And
it's like, somebody's, you find out somebody's smuggling something that they're not supposed to have on the ship.
Yeah.
Gizka.
Nobody wants Gizka on their ship.
Nobody wants fucking Gizka on their ship.
He's
got Gizka poison. But you need a license.
You're a monster.
If I found a Gizka, I would kill it with my bare hands.
You can do that.
Good.
In KOTOR, the game, you can, like, strangle it. Anyway.
I mean, in real life.
Oh, gosh. They were fine.
I don't know why I hate them so much.
Everywhere. They got really annoying in the game. Not to the Old Republic. So, every sort of, to have, like, you know, diversity among the, what I'm now calling the survivors, it's usually like an international kind of venture thing. So I see that, I feel like usually that's kind of played out, kind of forced. But I see that working out for this because each, like, nationality tells their survivor crew members, don't talk to the other nationalities up there on the ship. Mm. You know, even though you all speak English, because we're making this movie. you know, that would already establish, like, is the word mistrust? Because yeah. I want to say distrust. Anyway, that would already establish mistrust.
Words. We can look it up later.
Yeah, whatever. That already establishes that, you know, doubt among people. So they are on some sort of business venture, and they find an EMP'd spaceship.
It's EMP'd and emptied.
Ooh, snap. Ooh. Bars.
Bars. And they're on there, and there's one guy, and he's telling them, like, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I gotta get out of here. He's talking like this. I don't know why he's talking like this. But he's gotta get out of there. They get him out of there. And he tells them what just happened. That there was something on the ship.
Yeah, okay.
There was something on the ship with us. And it could look like people. And it picked us off one by one. By one.
I dig that.
By one, and then one, two. One time he got two, and then that was back to one.
That's funny. Okay.
And then I feel like he's got to be the one, and they think, all right, this guy's kind of bonkers.
Yeah.
But then he's got to be the one that says it's happening again.
Okay. So. This is already kind of difficult.
I know. Yeah, because I feel like it's going to take us a long time to map out how this can actually happen.
Yeah. So, okay, well, we should take a step back. Let's start from the mm-hmm. beginning and kind of go chronological.
Like, because I do think that it would do a lot for it to be ambiguous. It's like, okay, was this guy who they brought on, is he the creature, or did the creature just also get on?
Right.
Right.
There's that. We should probably watch the thing before we try to make this movie.
And then it all turns out to be a metaphor for immigration and xenophobia.
Rib. Why is my microphone louder than yours?
Probably not. It would probably work, but
that would be terrible.
No.
That would be terrible if, like, that was what you were going for, and then anybody who said they loved the movie, you're
not
like, ah!
Racist.
Oh my gosh.
You're like, really? It's like, if this was like a Frank Miller graphic novel, or wait, I think I might be thinking of the guy who made 300, like that Zack Snyder adapted into a movie, it'd be perfect. like, white people with problems would love it.
All right. So I said 20 minutes ago, let's go chronological.
Okay.
I'm joking. But I do think, start from the beginning. A man out alone on a spaceship, wind farm style, finds this body, pops in the VHS tape. I don't know why I imagine a VHS tape. That's outdated. And up shows what? Why do we start recording? I'm thinking... Because what makes most sense is he's like the security detail guy, and he's like suiting up to go into the EMP spaceship.
Right. Well, you know, I feel like this is basically a giant vessel for Space Amazon. Amazon is like half a step away from monitoring everything its employees do anyway. So.
Yeah. I get that. Playing the last 24 hours. Well, no.
Yeah.
Playing some... yeah, we don't have to explain that.
Yeah.
It's like is why it starts where it does. Like he wakes up, and then it starts. That's feasible.
Yeah. He wakes up, presses a little... Oh, no, I tapped the microphone.
It's fine.
Presses a little button on his body cam. Like, but he... Well, I was going to say, he picks it up and he puts it on... himself, but that sounds expensive. Then we'd have to actually build this fucking thing,
yeah,
and make sure that it got the kind of footage we wanted.
So anyway,
so no,
he's
an actor with a camera.
Yeah, he puts on his Arri Alexa LF Mini, and he goes to work. So the beginning should be just a very brief, like. Everyone grabbing breakfast, and that's a great spot to demonstrate how, like, you know, him and the I'm just gonna make him American for now. We can make him something else if opportunity arises. So he's sitting at breakfast with another American dude,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, you know, a French guy walks by, and then they both give him the stink eye, and then they like get to like, why is he here? That's a very obscure reference. You don't get. Never mind. We're moving on.
I really feel like, I don't know. I think that there's more to it, and there's more to work with. If they give him like a very casual nothing gesture, and then they're like prick.
Yeah.
When he's gone.
That's cool. I dig that.
Fucking French. To be fair, that is how. Never mind.
Oh gosh.
Apologies to our French listeners.
Yeah, all zero of them. I hate you guys. Like, no, I can say whatever we want, but we won't. Even though I just did. Okay.
There were layers to that. Alright, so...
Okay. So we're on the spaceship. We have established that we already don't like or / trust each other. And then... You know, plant some sort of seed of doubt before we find the EMP spaceship. You feel me? Like, something kind of small, but we do direct the audience's attention to it. So it's like, okay, what was that? Maybe it's just a phrase, like, oh, I might need to report back to Crypt Check with this. And you're like, alright, I wonder who that is. And then him avoiding bringing it up when everybody's turning on each other, you're like, oh man, I think it's him. I think the imposter guy is him. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
oh man, this would be a lot of fun. just, okay. Now, I feel like it's somewhat solid. Oh, there's an EMP spaceship. It's totally abandoned. We have to go check it out. And there's, like, the leader guy who's like, we all need to trust each other and get along. And he's the first guy who dies. And he's like, we need to go check out this spaceship that was presumably emptied out by space pirates. And someone's like, space pirates? That's dope. I should have become a space pirate. And then they go up on the ship. They come back. And they take at least one guy who survived. And it would be a lot scarier if it was just one guy. They bring him back on the spaceship, and maybe he spells it out. maybe he kind of feels insane, so you have like a reason to say like, this guy just went crazy, that's not true, everybody just killed each other on the ship. And then that's when they find, that's when the EMP happens, and that's when they find the first thing, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, that guy's insane, like, da-da-da-da-da. There's no way that there is some sort of alien life form that can turn off all the electricity around it. And da-da-da. And then it comes back on, and everybody, and then that's where the cut, it goes, and it comes right back, and everybody, it's like, an hour later or so, and everybody's like tapping their watches and their like, you know, spacesuits and stuff, and they're like, it's back, it's back. What the hell was that? You know? And then after that is when they find the oh gosh, that's so good. Like, if the insane guy kills the leader guy, and like everybody knows that's like, Like maybe we see it happen. Maybe some people see it happen. Maybe everyone sees it happen. You know?
Yeah.
But, like, that is the beginning. It's like, this insane man killed our leader, and it's like, we should kill him. And maybe they, like, throw him out of the space lock. Maybe they throw him out of the airlock right then and there. It's like, fuck that guy. And then, after that, something else happens. And then that's when the doubt starts growing. Okay. There is definitely an alien on board.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, did we throw a guy out of the space lock, or did we throw an alien out of the space lock? And, oh goodness. For there to, for to justify multiple imposter aliens, you know? And to justify multiple alien life forms, the cast needs to be a bit bigger.
Yeah.
Or it could just be like, plot twist, there were two rather than just one.
Yeah. Well, I feel like part of the move is the two people, they find the two people that throw the guy out of the space lock, they find their bodies. They Ooh. Find the bodies later.
I dig that.
Yeah. Or like soon after they find the bodies, and they're like, the people didn't throw that guy out of the space lock. We didn't do that. The aliens did that. I mean, that's an option. I don't know if that actually serves the plot.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
That's... this is so hard. How do we establish people dying, but also... Oh, maybe there's just some blood, like a ton of blood, and it's like, someone died, you know? It's like, what do you mean someone died? We're all here. And it's like, ooh. Yeah, oh, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But then again, that would leave zero doubt that there was... Okay, no, well, that's what we're going for.
Yeah.
There is an alien. Is definitely... There is an alien that has shape-shifting ability. Definitely true.
Mm-hmm.
There was also... There might also be an imposter among us. God. Okay. So... we jettison the guy, but we also were like, there's a ton of blood, and he's like, we need help cleaning it up down on sub level C-37 or whatever. And he's like, yeah, we know, we're getting somebody on that. And it's like, no, there's already someone cleaning up the leader's blood. Like, somebody else died. What, you the leader died in C-37, right? And they're like, no. They go down. Okay, that's pretty baller. He's like, wait, holy crap. There is this alien that can shapeshift. Okay. We need to find several more things need to happen. That's ambiguous as hell. Several more things need to happen. That the alien could have done, but the imposter guy could have done as well. And we can always rely on the cop-out of the EMP strikes. So there's, you know, it's like that's when it happened. You know, I'm feeling a little, not woozy, a little, not a little burnt out, but, you know, I'm faltering a little bit. So I think we should, now's a good time to take a break 40 minutes in, decide a title, commercial break when we come back. You right. Feeling it?
Even though I feel like the name of this episode is still...
Don't say it! And we're back. We came up with a title. What was it?
Changeling.
Just Changeling. Not The Changeling. Because The makes it sound like there's only one and we want to make it ambiguous. Changeling is pretty representative. Because Changeling, something that can change shape, you know, a creepy crawly alien that can actually change shape. And Changeling also kind of means someone who, like, changes in a... with, like, a creepy connotation to it, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. The original folklore is creepy as fuck. It's about replacing babies. Replacing babies with... I've never understood that. With a log. An enchanted log. And it's kids. It looks like your kid, but it has no feelings. And it just screams and acts crazy.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we blame a lot of random shit on folklore back in the day. It was like, your husband went missing while he was out chopping wood. Gotta hate that Bigelaboo. It's like, what?
I mean,
no, he was drunk and he probably died out there. It's like, yeah, but like, prove me wrong, Bigelaboo.
I mean, for that, obviously for that, it's kind of dumb. It's like, no, the dumbass got shit-faced and he fell down a hole.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I totally get folklore as a way of explaining the world. It's like, listen, I don't know what writing is. I'm pretty sure that the reason that all my crops died is because a witch is mad at me.
Yep. That damn Bigelaboo.
That damn Bigelaboo. I mean, like, people want to make sense of the world, and that's a way of making sense of the world. Like, that's what we're doing. We're telling stories. We're making so their stories got cooler and more in space.
Yeah.
Because we understand how crops die.
Yeah. Right. We were talking about making a movie. What's left? We've got... I feel like most of the fun is behind us.
Yeah, I feel like we don't really know why this guy with his magic body cam that conveniently goes off... that conveniently turns off when the actors need a break.
Yeah.
I know that's not how movies work. but... I feel like we haven't really explained why this guy's a traitor and why he apparently commits at least one homicide.
Yeah.
I feel like the easiest explanation is he's stealing something. Like, we're transporting the unobtainium and Vegemite back to... I don't know what... Vegemite sounds precious to me. he's stealing Vegemite to sell on the Australian black market.
Alright, so we've established Vegemite is canon in this universe we've made up.
I just assumed it's the future. I assumed everything that exists now exists then, except for dolphins because they're extinct.
Word. I was literally just thinking something else.
That may be my favorite joke you've made on here yet.
Gosh. Okay, so character motivations they don't play a super big part, because in horror, basically, when it comes to character motivations, and I'm talking about not great horror movies, it's like, what do these people want so that they can be in this situation? And then, you know, the horror aspect kicks up, and then it becomes, what do they want? To survive.
Yeah.
It's friggin' scary. And I guess that's why I don't like most horror movies. Anyway.
Yeah. No, that kind of makes sense.
So we've got, like, a double-edged sword. Not that... That metaphor doesn't work for this. We have two swords. In that we have the usual... There is an alien monster. I have the desire to survive. Hey-ya, that's one sword strike. And also, I don't trust people different than me. Even, like, you know, mistrust is the real enemy here. Second strike.
Yeah.
Should the imposter human... Should their desire be left ambiguous? It's like, no, because then, like, everything's ambiguous and now no one's doing anything for any kind of reason.
Yeah. Okay. I've got it. Because I am amazing sometimes unexpectedly. So, our guy, who I'm going to call Chet, because that's what I do when I don't have any ideas and get to drive the story bus.
Genius! Amazing! Sometimes you are phenomenal! No, I'm kidding.
Okay, yeah. So, after we found this dude on the abandoned spacecraft, we take him and we put a blanket on him, and we'd be like, that guy's fucking bananas, right? That's when the EMP hits, and later, we find proof that it was Chet, our first-person hardcore Henry-style protagonist. What happened with that movie? Anyway, we find proof that, or we're presented with proof that it was him who set off the first one. He set off the EMP because he was like, that crazy guy has provided me the perfect cover so that I can erase the documents that are going to prove that I've stolen. Or it's like, it's my chance to steal stuff.
The
Vegemite.
That.
And then, but that is also what sets these other events in motion, is that it makes that guy flip out and it lets him out of his little padded room and he kills their leader.
Yeah. All right, cool. So...
So in a sense, like, it's like he... It is both that he's using this as a cover and he is responsible for events going in motion. Like, events actually beginning and taking place.
Word. Okay. Yeah, I dig it. Okay, so from... This is what most writers consider the fun part and which I consider just kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
What... Not like in the ambiguous kind of storytelling, macro broad strokes. What does he want? But what does he want? You know, what are those documents about? What has he been stealing? Because that's like, it's world building a little bit. You know, now we're getting down to specifics. What do we tell the prop master to build?
Well, do we want him to be relatable? If we want him to have like a really compelling reason, then it should be like because like this is the magic golden medicine from Balto, and this is gonna save his mom or his wife or his husband or his husband wife, because it's the future and gender has come out with some cool expansion packs.
Okay. So, well, I feel, to make him too, it shouldn't be too tearjerker relatable. It should be, it's a multi-trillion dollar company. I'm just skimming off the top kind of relatable, you know? And,
yeah.
And they should all talk about how, like, that would be good. To maybe just, it would be a little social commentary that is, you know, a little out of nowhere, but, like, everybody talking about how they're not paid enough. It's like, we're out here, like, we do some of the most dangerous work in the universe, because we're out zooming through space, blah, 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 and we get paid this much. And then he's like, no, I have, like, this little nest egg that I was going to share with everyone, and they're like, that's not true, he's just lying so that we won't kill him. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's just, for good measure, we have, that was solid, the EMP being, kicking things off, and it was just something as simple as getting rid of the evidence that he stole. And now, now it needs to come to the point where he is, like, confronted and has no choice but to, you know, stab somebody, you know?
Yes.
So, what sort of... Ooh, what could be good is,
Yeah, because, I mean, like, that means we find out he's a thief. He's been stealing stuff.
Yeah.
Before, I mean, we find out he's been stealing stuff at some point in the movie, but, like, before the big dramatic conclusion.
Yeah. Oh, snap. Okay, yeah. So, he is confronted. We know...
We know there are, maybe we know as a fact there are two shapeshifty aliens on board. Maybe we are just under the assumption that there's only one. But we kill the alien thing because we tie, yeah, that's really good. The new leader, not the one who died, whoever is field promoted to leader is like, you're going to get what you deserve, blah, 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 blah. Stay here while we decide what to do with you. And then they, like, tie him up. Ah, oh, that would be so freaky. Because horror is meant to be freaky. And normally I wouldn't put this in a movie. But, like, they tie him just, like, to a chair or something. Leave him in a room alone. And then, like, the alien, like, slithers in. You know?
Yeah.
And then you as a viewer are like, oh, the creepy, really hard to watch. And then, like, they stop it. They kill the alien. And they're like, we were using you as bait. Haha, up top. No, just joking. You are going out the airlock. And then, like, as a viewer and the guy with the body cam pieces it together, wait a minute, I was with, you know, David, who turned out to be the alien, when somebody else died, and then that's when he's, like, about to go out the airlock, he's banging on the wall, on the door, and he's like, no, hang on. David was with me when that other person died. I didn't kill her, and the alien didn't kill her. So that's the bit where he's like, you know, I didn't do this. And then he's shot out into space. Yeah. And then
we got our spiraling backwards.
And we got the spiraling backwards shot. It all comes together. This is solid. I'm right. Digging this.
I feel like I think I had one more idea. I just have to remember what it was. I think I think this first moment where he's confronted for stealing, that's just like just by one person,
right?
Just by one person is that's a good time. I feel like just as you know a little window dressing, something off the spice rack to make it extra tasty, is that that's when you get this moment of it's like there's another EMP maybe a couple of minutes later. And then we don't come back until later, and he's washing his hands, and there's, like, barely in frame, like, rags with blood on him or whatever. Just something like that.
Right.
Because you want to give the people some breadcrumbs. You want a little something.
Little something.
Little something.
All right.
As a treat.
Man, okay, this is like a fully fledged outline. We don't have like a treatment ready to go for every scene, but like this, I'm more than satisfied with. This is tight.
Yeah.
You got anything else you want to add?
Everyone has funny haircuts because it's the future.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A little sprinkles on top of our already pretty awesome Sunday. I was when I first came up with this, I was thinking, you know, how they approached spaceships and future tech in Star Wars and Alien,
mm-hmm.
in that it's weirdly analog.
Yeah, I do like that.
I mean, I'm just kind of feeling that. Vibes. That's the kind of thing we can take or leave when we actually pitch this. It's like, well, what if it's more like this? Yeah, sure, go ahead, man.
Yeah, like,
as long as
like
the story's there.
Sometime 90 years from now, everyone's like, you know what? Fuck touch screens. Buttons.
Yeah, buttons are back in style. I dig it.
I like that. All right, cool. Now this is very much just making it. We're just painting.
Yeah.
We built it. We're painting now.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it.
The end?
Yeah, the end.
The end. Right. The end.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, let us know by leaving a review on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps a ton. Also, make sure to check out the podcast Story Break by Rocket Jump. It's a lot like what we do, just more professional. Thanks again.